Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Matthew 22, verse 17. The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Kind of a funny question, if you think about it. I know the Bible cloudiness has come upon your minds, and everything you think, it sounds Bible-y. But let's think again and wake up and say, wait, that's a weird question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? It's like asking, is it legal to pay my taxes to the IRS? It's like asking, is it legal to drive 35 on Austin Avenue? Is it legal to wait until I'm 21 to drink? Is it legal to go to El Conquistador on a Friday night for chips and queso? Is there anything more legal than that? Right, these are all things that are legal to do. So, of course, it's legal to pay taxes to the emperor. But for the folks talking to Jesus, the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people in the first century, there was more going on behind that question. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about this passage. What was going on? Why were they asking this question? And then I want to say from there, I want to look at Jesus' response and how he makes it about something bigger. There's more going on. And then I want to talk about you and the Indigo Girls, the acoustic folk duo out of Nashville that had a successful career in the 80s and 90s. So, here we go. Jesus is in the temple in Jerusalem. It's the last week of his life, and he is being cross-examined by the religious leaders of the Jewish people. I want you to picture multiple football field structure on top of a hill in the middle of Jerusalem. The Holy of Holies behind Jesus in the background, this enormous 5-6-story structure rising into the air, one of the wonders of the ancient world. And they're in the courtyard of that temple, and Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they enter into this debate with him. Now, what they don't realize is that Jesus was the debate champion of Galilee Senior High. Always got to watch out when you're entering into this kind of battle of wits with Jesus. And so they ask him, is it lawful to pay the tax to Caesar or not? And again, this weird question, but let's look at the background here. They're asking about a specific tax, a poll tax, that the Roman oppressors put into place in Jerusalem about 25 years before this passage we read today took place. And people didn't want to pay it. And you may think, well, of course. You know, no one likes to pay taxes, except those crazy Democrats. Well, 2,000 years ago, to these folks living under Roman rule, it was worse than your normal taxes. There were two specific reasons. One, it was simply offensive because only Jews had to pay it. If you were a Roman living in Jerusalem, you didn't have to pay this tax. So it was like a special, hey, second-class citizens, you have the privilege of living under Roman rule, and we will allow you to pay us a tax once a year. So it's kind of a little humiliating and a little demeaning to have to do this. But second, and even more importantly, this tax, it was one denarius. And you may think, isn't that the lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish now having a successful country career? No. A denarius was a silver coin, and on it was embossed the head in profile of the Emperor Tiberius, surrounded by a laurel wreath, and around his head in Latin it was written, Divi Filius Pontifex Maximus, Son of God, High Priest. For a Jew to use this coin in addition to being insulting and humiliating, it also causes one to break two of the Ten Commandments. You are acknowledging a God other than the God of Israel, and you are using a graven image of that God. You know, thou shalt have no other gods but me, I am the Lord your God, and thou shalt make no graven images. So to use this causes them to violate their most deeply cherished beliefs. And it had to be paid with a denarius. Because this idolatrous coin was so offensive to Jews, the Roman Empire, in their graciousness, maybe they were in a good mood that day, they said, okay, we'll allow the Jews in Judea to have their own coins minted. These little copper coins that had no offensive images on them. And they were allowed to use those for daily purposes. But this tax, it was required to be paid with a denarius, the actual coin. And so it was a real kick in the teeth. And it had been so offensive when this had come out that it had led to a rebellion and a war by another earlier Galilean rabble-rouser named Judas, who had started a revolt that was crushed. And so when they're asking Jesus, what do you think? Should we pay taxes or not? What they're saying is, should we betray our religious values to save our skins and stay out of trouble? Or should we stand up against the oppressor, take a stand for what we know is right, and maybe risk arrest or worse? So there's no good answer here. Because if he says, yes, we should be good citizens, good residents of this Roman-held state, and we should pay the tax, he looks like he's something of a religious lightweight. You know, that he's sort of making some sort of loophole in the Ten Commandments. And so the Jewish zealots who were there would make him a target. He would be a marked man. The folks that had fought the war a few decades before. If he says, no, take a stand, do what's right, pay this tax, or don't pay this tax, he's advocating lawbreaking. He's advocating civil or not civil disobedience. And so then the Romans would be out to get him. So the Pharisees feel very smug. We've trapped him. Jesus, however, gotta watch out for Jesus. He sees the trap. And so he then asks them for the coin. Let me see the coin. You got a coin? Now, one of them pulls out the coin. And you thought this was just an interesting little trick of the, you know, that Jesus is being sort of creative here in answering the question. But there's more going on here. Imagine if I was a new pastor here at this church. And let's imagine that we are a much more doctrinally encoded, enshrined in our documents, very conservative, rigid church, and that one of our main values is no consumption of alcohol. We're all teetotalers. Use your imagination. I know it's hard. Just go with me here. We're all teetotalers, and there's a meeting after one of my first services, and all the vestry and kind of leaders of the church are standing around and saying, so, new pastor guy, is it lawful or not to occasionally throw back a shiner with your buddies? And I say, anybody got a six-pack? And they sort of sheepishly look around, somebody's shuffling, staring at his shoes, checking their watch, and then somebody's like, get the cooler, guys. And lo and behold, six long necks. Right, the fact that one of these Pharisees actually was able to produce a coin that was deeply offensive to all the people around, Jesus has just shown them to be hypocrites, as he said, a sham. They weren't really asking a question because they cared about the answer. They were like most of us. Whenever we have a question for the Lord about what we can and can't get away with, we've already decided what we're going to do. They already have the denarius. So Jesus, now having publicly exposed them, has this amazing interchange. You know, whose head is this? Caesar. Well, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Drops the mic. and they are silenced. So that's what happens in the story. But what does it mean for you and me? Give to God what is God's. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Jesus is pointing out to them that their perspective on God is wrong. They're asking the wrong question. They're missing the forest for the trees. They have a view of God that is like the philosopher in Closer to Fine, that hit single, the breakout single from the Indigo Girls in 1989. In that song, someone who is looking for spiritual enlightenment and peace talks about going to see a doctor of philosophy, and the singer says, "He graded my performance." The perspective about should we pay the tax or not betrays a view of God as someone up there in the clouds who's grading our performance. He is worried about the change in your pockets. He's worried about how many minutes of reality TV you're watching every week. He is looking at the little minute and large decisions you're making every day, and he's standing there with his stopwatch and his clipboard grading your performance. What are we allowed to do or not allowed to do to keep God happy, to make the grade? This is the perspective that's behind that question. What am I allowed to get away with? And what Jesus is saying is that's the wrong question. You've missed the main point. The worship of God is not about trivial matters of this little thing over here and this little act of piety over here. What God wants is not the change in your pockets. What God wants is you. Because see, that statement, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's, that should lead us to ask, well, what is God's? What belongs to God? Everything. You. And so what Jesus is saying is, you think that God is some sort of divine being that has to be paid off and accounts must be settled and everything has to be sort of bean counted to perfection. But what God really wants is you. God wants your heart, the source of light and life, the beating heart of love at the center of the universe, that created you to be in a relationship with you, that desires you, and can fill your heart. God wants you. That's what he wants. Give that to him. Give him yourself. Give him you. So, that's what Jesus is saying to you. Give God yourself. Give him your everything. And I'll let you think about what that looks like and what that means in your life. But you may find that it is difficult to do. You may find that despite your best intentions and your resolve today, that you end up tomorrow thinking mostly about yourself. You may end up back in your worries, your anxieties, aware of any slights against you, cherishing grudges old or new, delighted by the clearance rack at Target, thinking more things will fill the void. You may look to things other than God to meet your needs. You may have a hard time giving God your whole self. If that's the case, remember when Jesus spoke these words, and remember what he was about to do. If you have a hard time giving your whole self to God, remember there was one guy once who was able to do it for you and for me, one who was able to give his whole self, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who is wholly devoted to God and for you, does for you what you will find very difficult to do for yourself. His righteousness for you, secured and cemented and made certain in his death and resurrection. And that's all I want to say about Jesus and Caesar and the Indigo Girls. Lord, help us to see you afresh as the one who has given all for us. Amen.